Thanks to Repco Authorised Service for expert car service. Your book online at repcoservice.com. And it's fantastic to have Brett Phillips. He shines when it comes to this time of the year. He's the host of the First Serve Wide World of Sports Tennis Anchor and joins us here on Sports Day. Brett, thanks for your time. How are you?
Yeah, good, going well, Carl. We're a week out from the most famous postcard in tennis. I can smell the grass from here. So it's a great time of the year, isn't it? Wimbledon, we love it. Late nights, the grass court season doesn't go long enough. We'd love a few more weeks, but it is a time that you want to shine on tour, even though it's very different this year with no rankings points, which is hard to believe for a lot of people who don't follow tennis. They're thinking, why would you want to miss out on playing Wimbledon? But players actually play for points. Depending where you are in the ecosystem of tennis, in fact, I was just on a text with Chris O'Connell, the Aussie who is 110 in the world. He's opted not to play Wimbledon because he wants to chase points and play at that challenger level in the next fortnight so that he can actually get inside the top 100. So everyone's got a different mindset, but yeah, it's still going to be great. Regardless of no rankings points, Wimbledon next week, we love it.
Yeah, and you've got to qualify first, of course, BP. 11 Australians contesting ladies singles qualification, which begins, of course, in London. That, by the way, is the highest representation of Aussies at a Wimbledon ladies singles qualifying draw since 1994. So we've got some numbers banking up.
Yeah, we have. I mean, it's sort of, if you look at it, it depends which way you look at that. I mean, you know, there's certainly a lot who are thereabouts. They're on the fringe. There's a lot of those girls that we'd love to see, Mark, you know, take the next step and actually get out of this whole qualies area, which you can often be sort of stuck in. And, you know, players who are ranked sort of between 100 and 250 in the world, which is no disgrace in professional tennis, but, you know, it can be a bit of a graveyard to get out of. I mean, I just look at Storm Sanders as a great example from your neck of the woods in the West there. Now, Stormy's having, you know, some great success in doubles at the moment. She won in Berlin on the weekend, her second 500 title. She's 12 in the world in doubles. And I'd love to know her mindset right now. We spoke to her on the First Serve last year. She was on the cusp of the top 100 in singles and certainly had the game, the lefty firepower. Rankings, the singles ranking has plummeted to about 222, and she's 27. And the pay packets to play doubles, if you get and win those 500s, the Masters 1000s, and slams, is pretty hard to ignore. So a lot of players get to this stage of their career, they weigh up, do I play more doubles than singles? But yeah, hopefully there's a bit more left in Storm as an example of many of those Aussie girls who are playing later tonight.
Now, having a look at the other tournament that's running alongside, of course, John Millman and Alex Di Minua. Alex is sixth seed for the tournament at Eastbourne there in Great Britain on grass. Last night, John Millman and Alex had a good win. Sebastian Korda and Christian Garin were their respective opponents.
Indeed, Carl. Yeah, well, Alex is he's defending his title. He won in Eastbourne on the grass last year. He had a great patch where he made, I think, that semi at Queens and then went on to win Eastbourne. Unfortunately, got Seb Korda, the American, in the first round of Wimbledon last year, which wasn't the kindest draw for Alex. And, you know, we always say going into any major, we just hope Alex gets a kind first couple of rounds. But look, I think what we've become accustomed to with Di Minaur, and he's holding his ranking, it's tough. It really is tough in men's tennis against his contemporaries to climb any higher than where he is. And he's been sort of plonked between about 15 and 30 in the world. That's where he's been swinging from. To go any higher than that, you've got to beat some damn good players. And that's still the challenge for Alex, to bring some bigger weapons to the court. But he does like the grass. I mean, he zips that ball through the court. You get great value if you hit with plenty of pace and rush your opponents, which Alex has a great knack of doing. So hopefully, you know, he can play really well this week, maybe even defend his title and go into Wimbledon chock full of confidence. Millman, look, you know, I mean, he's in the veteran sort of status now, and we you know, obviously trying to maintain that ranking inside the top 100. Not probably the threat he was. Great to see James Duckworth back. Got inside the top 50 last year. Had another surgery, which has been the story of his career, missing the first 5 months of this year. But yeah, Ducks has got a lot of points to defend from this part of the season all the way through. So he needs to put his best foot forward.
Later on tonight, Nick Kyrgios taking a different path. Mallorca Championships in Spain, and he takes on Laszlo Degere. He's been in pretty good form. How have you seen his lead up to Wimbledon?
Well, look, yeah, we say the same all the time, Carl. He can win any match on a dime. I mean, he's made three semi-finals in a row. He's made a quarter at Indian Wells earlier this year. I think he's 15-6 off the top of my head. He wins matches with his eyes closed, Nick Kyrgios. But he gets to a point in a tournament, as he has done the last 3 weeks in a semi, where it's not quite going his way, and then the mentality just doesn't quite match the talent. Just losing his temperament, losing his way, almost waving the white flag, so to speak. So, you know, when people say to me, is he going to be a threat for Wimbledon, you've got to win seven matches best of five, and that still, I think, is an enormous challenge for Nick to stay engaged for that length of time. The man who's born to be an entertainer rather than a professional tennis player. But look, no one scares him. He would scare plenty in the draw. We'll wait and see how it unfolds. He should beat Laszlo Degere tonight with his eyes closed, but yeah, there's bigger challenges to come.
Brett, we know the situation with Russia and players from Belarus and Wimbledon and what that has meant to a flow-on effect, perhaps, and even as you mentioned, the ranking points which have come into play, Naomi Osaka, Dominic Thiem, Eugenie Bouchard. Any more big-name players, do you think, between now and when the tournament starts will decide, not for me?
Yeah, no one else, Mark, I'm hearing of as we speak. There are a few days to go until the draw is out, and we'll wait and see. I think still for those top-line players, it's still the prestige of having an attempt to win Wimbledon. You know, the greatest of the four majors. So I think that's the thing, and the price money checks aren't changing. If anything, they're going up. So that's always a nice little carrot to dangle in front of the players. So I don't think there'll be any more sort of casualties. It's really, as I mentioned, those players who are outside the top 100 who are thinking, oh, is it really worth it? I mean, you know, I'm there. I can do. You know, the money's okay, but I need points, and I'll go and play those challenges in the 2 weeks of Wimbledon. But yeah, I think the top liners will stay pretty much intact.
Well, you talk about rankings, and I saw it on Twitter the other day. I had to look twice, but Roger Federer, where's he slipped to now? Because Wimbledon's his second home, but he's certainly not in the numbers that we're so accustomed to over that decorated career.
No, I think he's down. Was he just inside the top 100 at the moment? Mm. He was down, 50 in the world a week or two ago, and he's taken a bigger dip because, of course, this time last year, he was playing, made the quarters of Wimbledon. So, yeah, he'll take a bit more of a nosedive, Roger. But, look, we're fingers crossed. We're going to get him back for the Laver Cup and Basel, his home tournament there in Switzerland. They're the two tournaments he has identified that he wants to play. At the back end of this year, but yeah, still trying to recover from that knee surgery and get mobile and get to a point where he feels confident of stepping back into play professional tennis. So we hope there's going to be that instalment. Serena's coming back for Wimbledon, which is going to be a fascinating watch. You know, players won't want to go up against her. She's the dangerous sort of floater in the draw. And this is the interesting part too, guys, with Wimbledon. Now, her ranking was basically, you know, gone to oblivion now, having missed 12 months of tennis. But Wimbledon don't go on your WTA ranking. They determine their own seedings. And because of her pedigree at SW19, having won so many championships, they may seed her. That'll be an interesting watch in the next few days.
BP, thank you very, very much for your time, mate. We really appreciate it. Take care.
Great stuff. Thanks, guys.
Brett Phillips, host of The First Serve and Wide World of Sports tennis anchor. He does a marvellous job. And another Australian in action tonight, Ila Tomljanović, playing there at Eastbourne in Great Britain. That'll get underway around 9 o'clock our time, up against Yelena Ostapenko, the eighth seed of that particular tournament. For expert car service, you can book online at repcoservice.com. We'll clear a commitment on the other side, come back and have a chat to Matty Hodgson, who is the Western Force General Manager next here on Sports Day.